Well, the biggest news story here in Sydney at the moment is the recent COVID-19 outbreak that has seen the Northern Beaches placed into lockdown and Greater Sydney on alert. We're joined by Professor Mary Louise McClaws from UNSW, researcher and expert in epidemiology and infectious diseases, and member of the World Health Organization Experts Advisory for COVID-19, and also a member of New South Wales Clinical Excellence Commission COVID Task Force. Mary Louise, thank you so much for speaking with us today on The Daily.
It's a pleasure.
As of yesterday, the Avalon cluster is at 68. What are the critical steps for both the New South Wales government and Sydneysiders to take in the coming days to get this cluster under control?
We still don't know whether or not it's seeded outside the Northern Beach area. That's quite... And at the moment... The ministry has told us that all of those cases have been within that area. So over the next few days, they'll know more, because the last time there was an exposure to outside of that area by somebody who they considered to be a potential case, making whoever they come into contact with as close contact, was on the 17th of December. There was one in Paddington, and then the day before that there was Cronulla, but that was a casual contact. But several of these contacts outside have been for several hours, particularly in hairdressing salons, where you, of course, deal with customers very closely. So over the next 5 days, the ministry will know whether it has moved out of that area. It depends on how each person responds to being exposed to COVID. Some people acquire COVID, but interestingly don't spread it within a family cluster, and others do immediately. So it really is dependent often on the individual. And so we can't say with certainty that anybody that was in Paddington or Cronulla or Tarramurra or Darlinghurst or Neutral Bay have had a sufficient exposure and they will respond by acquiring it. So we need to hear from the ministry how important those exposures were, whether or not they've contained that and looked at all of their contacts as well. So they're called contacts of contacts. So far, we can keep our fingers crossed that it sadly has contained in that northern beach area, so that the rest of us are at less risk of then spreading it further. But what we need to do to help is to wear our mask when we go shopping or in the Uber, bus, taxi, train. Just wear that mask in crowded conditions.
From what you can tell so far, what is the most likely scenario for Sydney and New South Wales over the Christmas and New Year's Eve break? Do you see similarities to Melbourne's second wave at all?
Well,
I hate to even ask the question, but...
I understand it's on everybody's mind about this, but let me just remind you that Melbourne had a persistent, grumbling community spread before they had a seeding from two hotel quarantines through the staff. And they had a very a difficult process to bring all of that under control, where New South Wales has had zero cases way back for 39 days, with one case from a worker in the quarantine hotel and another case by the van driver for the flight crew. So the ministry have had plenty of time to use their 700-plus contact tracers to be able to get on top of this. But there's always that one case that slips through their fingers or doesn't respond to the phone call or the SMS. And so I'd really ask everybody, if you're feeling at all unwell, scratchy throat, unusual tiredness, go and get tested, because you just don't know. And that way Christmas may not be cancelled outside of the northern beaches, but sadly, I can't see, unless the numbers just stop growing, that the northern beaches will have anything other than a continued stay-at-home order for their Christmas, because we are looking at, they had 30 cases, and then before that 22, before that 15. So you're talking about clustering around a continuous source over several days. And if that number then drops rapidly, then there's a possibility that total number of cases has been exhausted, but they may still get cases within the family unless they are incredibly vigilant. And it's very hard to keep the rest of the family members from catching it unless they're children. So I would predict they will have a stay-at-home order for Christmas.
Could you tell us about your open letter calling for rapid antigen testing and your reasoning behind it? Who should get it?
So back on the 7th of December, we decided we would write a letter because we weren't really getting any traction by talking about it publicly and also within the testing community, as in pathology, that we would write a letter to the ministers from the state ministers, all the state ministers, and the federal government, explaining that there is now very good rapid point-of-care tests that are antigen tests that have a very high level of accuracy for being able to say somebody is negative. At the moment, when everybody comes into the country, be it flight attendants or return travellers, they don't get tested. And the return travellers get put into a hotel and get tested on day two.
We're saying that seems extraordinary.
It's a way of coping with the cost and, of course, the enormous workload that it takes if you're getting 160 at least people every day coming in, at least. And I know they've done just in the last few months, tens of thousands of tests. So they can improve that. And also, one of the most important areas of risk is the staff who work in the quarantine hotel. We know what happened in Victoria. We know what happened in South Australia. It has happened in New South Wales previously. And now it's happened with a cleaner and, of course, a van driver. So this is a very, very infectious disease, particularly when people have a high viral load, meaning they've got symptoms. So one way of keeping everybody safe is testing everybody as soon as they enter the airport off the aeroplane. It takes 13 to 15 minutes. The accuracy to identify you as negative is somewhere between 98 and 100% accurate. So what you want is to be able to label them safe to go home if they're Australian flight crew, because they do go home. I would also add to that a home kit, because an Australian company has developed a home test kit for COVID that the Americans are using. Take a home kit with them. They've tested negative. They go home. They stay home for a couple of days and they use a home kit. The international flight crew, non-Australians, need to be tested without any exception because we need to know if they're going to a hot hotel, i.e. A hotel for infected people, or a cold hotel under, of course, quarantine conditions until they turn back around and go back to their flight to return to wherever they've come from, but with mandatory mask use, because I can only assume that the poor old van driver acquired the American strain from somebody not wearing a mask in that bus. So we test all of the flight crew. We test embassy staff regardless, and we know what is happening. And then all the staff that work in quarantine hotels have a risk. It's a low risk, but it causes an enormous problem, like a second wave in Victoria. We test them at the end of every shift. with a rapid point of care test. Now, I have heard that the ministry says, well, you get tested one day and it's negative, but the next day positive. That's the point. You test them at the end of every day, not just once a week.
Professor Mary Louise McClaws, thank you so much for joining us this morning on The Daily.
It's a pleasure. Please stay well.
You too. You too. And Merry Christmas.
Thank you very much. You too.
That was Professor Mary Louise McClaws of UNSW on how to contain Sydney's growing COVID-19 outbreak. We'll know the latest New South Wales numbers after 11 a.m.